Okay, so we are learning Perek Gimel of Shmuel Aleph, and if you remember what took place, we did about half the Perek last week at the beginning of the Perek. So Shmuel essentially gets his first nevuah, and at first, you know, we learned he didn't really know what was going on. He was sleeping, and he hears this voice. He thinks it's Eli. He runs to Eli. Eli says, "Not me, you know, go back to sleep." And it happens another time. And then finally, Eli understands that it must be the voice of a nevuah. There must be a nevuah coming to Shmuel. So he tells him, go back to sleep. But if you hear it again, so then you should say, Daber Hashem ki shomea avdecha, that please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, speak, because I, your servant, am listening. Shmuel goes back to sleep. Again, the voice comes. It's, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shmuel initiates, so to speak, the conversation. And then the nevuah begins essentially to be a negative nevuah about Eli and his family. As we know, in Perek Beis, Eli received a visit from Elkanah, who was a Navi, who was the Ish Elokim. He was, of course, the father of Shmuel. And he essentially told Eli, I'm sorry, that his house would be cursed, his descendants would be cursed because of the sins of his children, Chafni and Pinchas, who did not act properly in the Mishkan. They took things that they were not entitled to. They took it at times that they were not entitled. And essentially that nevuah and those curses are repeated here over several psukim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Shmuel and relates the same curses and the same prophecy, the same negative nevuah to Shmuel HaNavi. And this is the first nevuah that Shmuel gets. You could just imagine for a minute, I was thinking about it, you know, Shmuel HaNavi, who is a young, aspiring Navi, you know, really almost like a Navi in training. You know, he's still kind of learning the ropes, and this is his first nevuah. His first nevuah is about the demise of his Rebbe's entire lineage and dynasty. I mean, that's a pretty awful nevuah to get for your first nevuah. But, you know, I guess it taught him quickly, you know, what it means to be a Navi. A Navi is not about, you know, feeling good emotionally. It's, you know, a Navi is about the Dvar Hashem. A Navi is about, you know, listening to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs, and as the Navi, serving as that intermediary and that medium for that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants in this world. Sometimes it might not be pleasant. You know, your beloved Rebbe, and you're having a nevuah about the demise of his entire lineage. So, but that's the lesson that Shmuel learned very young, is that to be a leader, to be a Navi, to be a Gadol. In those days, you know, Shmuel was the Shofet, he was the Navi, he was the leader, he was the Gadol. To be a Gadol, it's about the Dvar Hashem, it's about the Ratzon Hashem, it's about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, what's going to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy, not what's going to make me happy, not what's going to make my Rebbe happy, what's going to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy. Okay, so Shmuel gets this Nevuah, and as we just mentioned, you know, he's not very comfortable with the entire Nevuah. And I believe we left off with Pasuk Tesvav. We're up to Pasuk Tesvav, Pasuk 15. So the Pasuk tells us, Vayishkav Shmuel ad haboker. So Shmuel goes back to sleep. Right, again, I'm not sure how you can go back to sleep after such a nevuah, but he goes back to sleep. Vayivtach es dalsos beis Hashem. And the Mefarshim say he essentially woke up and he started doing his job. Right, Shmuel was a Levi, and one of the jobs of the Leviim was that they would open the gates. Right, that was their job. They were the shoarim. They would open the gates. So Shmuel woke up. He did what he was supposed to do. He starts doing his job, opening the gates. You know, almost ignoring the nevuah, this scary nevuah from last night that he received. Ushmuel yore mehagides hamare el Eli, and Shmuel is petrified. He's scared. He doesn't want to tell Eli about this nevuah. Right, terrible, terrible nevuah. He doesn't want to tell Eli. He may not know the details of the nevuah that Eli himself got from Elkanah in the previous parak, which essentially said the same thing. Shmuel doesn't know all that, right? Shmuel never heard all those details, so he gets this awful, scary nevuah about the demise of Eli's house. He's scared. He doesn't want to come to his Rebbe and tell him, "Hey, guess what I heard last night." He doesn't want to do that. The Malbim points out an interesting issue. You know, there's a halacha that a navi is not allowed to be kovesh nevuaso, which means a Navi is not allowed to withhold his Nevuah. If he gets a Nevuah, he has to relate it. He's not allowed to hold it for himself. A Navi is given Nevuah for others. to communicate to other people. So how is Shmuel allowed here to selectively withhold this nevuah and not tell Eli about the nevuah? I understand he's the uncomfortable, but what gave him the halachic right? What gave him the right that he was allowed to withhold the nevuah? So the Malbim answers that there are different types of nevuah. Some nevuah is designed for the Navi to repeat to others. And we see those types of nevuah throughout the Torah. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor. Every time HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe, Lemor, to say. Right? The whole point of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interactions, the vast majority of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interactions with Moshe, were to be told to Bnei Yisrael. That was the point of this nevuah. So the Malbim says that had the point of this nevuah been to share with Eli, so then Shmuel would not have been able to choose to withhold the nevuah. But that wasn't the point of this nevuah. The point of this nevuah was not to share with Eli. The point of this nevuah was for himself, so that he, as the up-and-coming leader, he, as the leader of the next generation, will know what happened to Eli and what happened to Eli's family, why it happened, and perhaps to avoid these kind of things in the future. So says the Malbim that since this nevuah was an individual nevuah, it wasn't a nevuah that was meant to be related. So that's why Shmuel had the option of not telling his Rebbe. And for the time being, that's what he did. Right? Shmuel Yare, he was scared and he didn't want to say anything. So he just opted to remain quiet. Pasuk Tezayin. Vayikra Eli el Shmuel. Vayomer Shmuel Bini. Vayomer Hineni. So Eli calls to Shmuel. And Eli says, Shmuel, my son. And Shmuel says, yes, you know, here I am. The Mefar Shmuel point out here that Eli knows what's going on. Eli knows the score. Keep in mind that last week we learned when Shmuel kept hearing these voices at night, many of the Mefarshim understood that Eli had a hunch that this was a nevuah. He had a hunch that there was a nevuah coming to Shmuel. He didn't know what, he didn't know why, but he had a hunch that there was a nevuah coming. So in the morning, many of the Mefarshim understand, Eli knew, he had a good feeling that Shmuel had gotten some nevuah at night. That's number one. The Alshich points out that Eli may have seen this on Shmuel's face, right? Because after all, Shmuel was Yorei Mehagidus Hamara El Eli. You can imagine, you know, a young student comes into class, you know, and has this terrible news for his teacher, and is trying his best not to share it. It could very well be that Eli saw some hint of that on his face. Maybe he saw the fear, or he saw that, you know, that there's something that Shmuel is hiding. Very often, you know, people try to hide something. You know, that's what they say in the security world, right? The Israelis all train the security people that they're supposed to look at. You know, you're supposed to look for the warning signs in someone, because when someone's up to no good, generally they're nervous and they give off certain warning signs. So here too, Eli likely saw these warning signs. He saw it on Shmuel's face. Shmuel's hiding something. Maybe he put two and two together that Shmuel was getting a nevuah last night, and now Shmuel is hiding something. You know, he must have gotten some nevuah, and it obviously it's not pretty. So he calls him. The Malbim also adds the fact that if you remember from last week, this all happened on the same day. Eli got his nevuah from Elkanah. Elkanah came to Eli. We learned about it in the Perek Beis, but Elkanah came to Eli and told him this terrible nevuah about his future and about his progeny. On that very same day, or that night, I should say, this is when Shmuel is getting his nevuah. So, you know, Eli is putting all the pieces together here. You know, just yesterday, Elkanah came to me and told me this terrible nevuah about my family. Now, last night, you know, Shmuel, who's this up-and-coming Navi, was getting a nevuah in the middle of the night. It must have been about me. It must have been about my family. You know, that's what it must have been. And therefore, Eli turns to Shmuel in Pasuk Yud Zayin, and he tells him, Vayomer, Ma hadavar asher diber eilecha. Please, Shmuel, what is it that God told you last night? Al no sechached mimeni. Please don't withhold it from me. I need to know, I need to hear what you heard. Ko yase lecha elokim v'cho yosif, im techached mimeni davar mikol hadavar asher diber eilecha. A very strong language. The Radak points out that the Pashup shot in this language, Ko yase lecha elokim v'cho yosif, means it's a language of an oath. And essentially, Shmuel's, and Eli, I'm sorry, is swearing. He's taking an oath. you know, by my life, you got to tell me what's going on. You got to tell me what you heard. You know, it's a very strong language. Rashi and the Radak both point out, and this is fascinating. In this pasuk, you see it that koyas alecha elokim echo Yosef. What do those words mean? Koyas alecha elokim, Hashem should do to you like this. Koyas alecha elokim echo Yosef, and he should add to it. So essentially, the Rashi and the Radak point out from Chazal that Eli is cursing Shmuel, that if he doesn't reveal the entire nevuah, koyas alecha elokim echo Yosef, Hashem should do the same to you, just like I have evil sons, just like I have sons who sinned, and because of that, that's why my family is being punished, and that's why my family is cursed. If you withhold the nevuah from me, koyas alecha elokim, Hashem should do the same for you. Hashem should do the same for you. If you look at Pasuk Yud Ches, Vayagid lo Shmuel es kol advarim. So Shmuel tells him everything. Right? Maybe that scared Shmuel. You know, he realized Eli really wants to know, and I don't want to hide it from him. So Shmuel spills the beans. Shmuel tells him the entire nevuah. Velo chiched mimenu, he did not withhold anything. He didn't withhold anything. Vayomar, Hashem hu hatov be'inav yaseh. He is Hashem, and whatever is right, and this is Eli talking, right? Eli speaking, and he's saying, listen, Hashem, God is God. Whatever he decides is good, he's going to do. Whatever he decides to do, he'll do. Now, Rashi points out here, Vayagid lo Shmuel es kol advarim elo chiched mimenu. Shmuel told him everything. But yet, nonetheless, we find that Shmuel's children did not follow in Shmuel's ways. And the Chazal say that that was because of this curse. You see that kilalas chacham, right? The curse of a chacham can come true even if the conditions are not true. Right? What did Eli say? If you don't tell me everything, if you withhold information, koyas alecha elokim echo Yosef. Shmuel did not withhold any information. He spilled the beans. He told him the whole nevuah. And yet we find that the curse comes true, that you see the power of when a chacham curses, right? When a gadol curses, you see the power that even if the conditions are not met, the curse can still come true. And we find this several times throughout Tanakh. The earliest example, at least the one that's in my head, the earliest example, is when Rachel steals the trophim. Right, when Rachel steals the idols from her father, Lavan, and Lavan comes searching for them high and low, and what does Yaakov say to Lavan? We don't have them, and if you know whoever has them should die. That's what the pasuk says, and Chazal say because of that, that's part of the reason why Rachel died young. Right, Rachel died in childbirth. She was the first of the imahos to die. Right, the first of his wives to die. Right, why did she die young? Because he said whoever has them should die. Rachel had them. Now, you know, he didn't mean it, he didn't understand it that way, but when a Chacham curses, Hashem takes those words, and he takes them very seriously. If a Chacham curses, he takes them very seriously. Says Rashi, that's what's going on here too. Says Eli, if you withhold any information, koyas alecha elokim echo Yosef, even though Shmuel told him the whole story, even though he did not withhold anything, nonetheless, it still came true in part, and Shmuel's sons did not follow in his ways, much like Eli's sons did not follow in his ways. That's part of the punishment here. Now, the ending of the pasuk is also interesting. Vayomar, Hashem hu, hatov be'inav yaseh. So, hatov be'inav yaseh, we understand. Eli is saying whatever God feels is good, whatever He feels is just, He'll do. What's Hashem hu? Right, that's how you read the pasuk. You read the pasuk. Hashem hu, kama hatov beinav yaseh. So what's Hashem hu? So Rashi says Hashem hu means that God is the master of the world. Right? He's the ribono shel olam. He's literally the master of the world. Adon kol haaretz. Everything belongs to him. So I'm not, whatever he decides, whatever he's going to do, he's going to do. And as the Malbim says clearly, this was essentially a tziduk hadin. Right? What's tziduk hadin? We get up, Avelim, mourners get up at every funeral, right? When we say Tachanun, They get up at every funeral and they recite Hatsur Tamim Pa'alo. They recite a Tzidok Hadin, essentially declaring and proclaiming that God is just. God is just. We don't understand it, but God is just. So too here, this is what Eli was doing, says the Malbim. He was doing a Tzidok Hadin. Hashem Hu Hatov Be'inav Yase. God is God. God is just. Whatever he feels is right, he's going to do. He was being mekabel it upon himself. Right? And you see, it's an amazing thing. Because, you know, this person, Eli, is hearing this terrible news about his family. So you would think he's going to be kicking and screaming. He's going to throw a temper tantrum. Hatov Be'inav Yase. Whatever God feels is just, I accept. I'm mekabel. You see the tzidkus. You see the righteousness of Eli HaKohen. The Alshich has a fascinating approach here, and the Alshich says that Hashem, right, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, refers to the Midas Harachamim. That's God's mercy. That's God's attribute of mercy, the Midas Harachamim. So what Eli is saying is Hashem Hu. Hashem, meaning the attribute of mercy, the Midas Harachamim, that's who he is. Hatov Be'ein Av Yaseh. That what's good in his eyes, his merciful eyes, that's what he should do. Right? Whatever's in accordance with that midah, with that trait, with the midas harachamim, that's what he should do. Hashem hu, he's a merciful God. He has midas harachamim. Hatov be'einav yase, that which is good in his eyes as the rachman, as the God of mercy, as the midas harachamim, that's what he should do. So according to the Alshich, it's not just a Tzidok Hadin, but it's also a little tefillah wrapped up inside as well. Right? He's recognizing, listen, I understand that God is just, and whatever he does is fair, whatever he does is proper. But I'm also issuing a little tefillah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please show me mercy. Right? Please have mercy, please understand, you know, that I'm not completely at fault, even though of course we learned that Eli was partially at fault for his son's behavior, but he said I'm not completely at fault, and act mercifully towards me. Pasuk Yutes. Okay, so this incident essentially is over. Pasuk Yutes, Vayigdal Shmuel. And Shmuel grows. It doesn't just mean he grows physically, but obviously, as the Metzudas David points out, it means he grows spiritually. He grows in Chachma, in wisdom. He grows in Yirah Shamayim, in his connection and relationship with Hashem. Vehaya, Vavashem, I'm sorry, Haya Imo. And God was with him. Velo hipil mikol devarav arza. And nothing that he said, literally what this pasuk says, is that nothing that he said fell to the ground, which means that nothing that Shmuel said was in vain. Everything that Shmuel prophesied, everything that Shmuel said came true. The Radak says that Hashem went out of his way, so to speak, to fulfill everything that Shmuel said. Even the things that Shmuel did not say with Nevuah. Things that he just mentioned, you know, well, you know, tomorrow I heard it's not supposed to rain. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu would make it so that tomorrow it didn't rain. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the people to recognize Shmuel's greatness. And obviously, listen, right? Meteorologists are often wrong, and that's why we don't recognize their greatness. But when people consistently get things right, when every time this person utters something, it comes true. Nevuah or not Nevuah, well, that's an incredible thing. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the people to see. Velo he peel me kol devar of arza. Everything that Shmuel said, nevuah related, not nevuah related, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure it came true, so that the people would know not only is this person a navi, but he is one of a kind. Right? He's something special. He's unique. The Malbim explains that this pasuk really describes three elements of nevuah, or actually this pasuk describes two of them, and the psukim continue to describe the other, but says the Malbim. What does the pasuk say? Vashem haya imo, right? So level number one is that he had a constant connection with Hashem, which was a ruach hakodesh. The Malbim says there's like a divine, just a constant divine inspiration. Vashem imo, God was always with him. Everything that he said was godly. Everything that came out of his mouth, everything that he did was a kodesh baruch hu. It was an overall consistent and constant Ruach HaKodesh that enveloped Shmuel. And not only that, but everything that he said came true. That's a whole nother level of Nevuah. Okay, and the Malbim says that that's actually the test of a true Navi. That if a Navi comes, if a prophet comes and starts saying things and they don't come true, well, then you pretty much know that this Navi is a fake. But here, Shmuel, everything he said did come true. So you see that you see the reality and the greatness of Shmuel's nevuah. The Alshich points out also something fascinating, which shows, which really connects the first two words of the pasuk with the next two words. Vayigdal Shmuel, and Shmuel grows. And we said he's not just growing physically, but he's growing spiritually in his nevuah. Vahashem haya imo, says the Alshich, until this point, what did we say that Shmuel was doing? Shmuel was Mishareis El Eli. Right? If you look at the first pasuk of this parak Gimel, Vahanar Shmuel Mishareis Es Hashem Lifnei Eli. That this young man Shmuel, he served Hashem Lifnei Eli. What does that mean, Lifnei Eli? So we said we offered different interpretations at that time, but it means that he was being taught by Eli. He was being taught by Eli. It could mean that he surpassed Eli at that point, the Malbim suggests. But Lifnei Eli means he was connected to Eli. Here, what does the pasuk say? Vayigdal Shmuel v'haya Hashem. I'm sorry, v'Hashem haya imo. Hashem was now with him alone, with him independent of Eli. He no longer needed his Rebbe. Right? It's like, you know, the Rebbe teaches the Talmud learns, you know, how to learn, how to understand, how to decipher, how to analyze, how to give the shir, and then the Talmud goes off on his own, uses his own wings, his own strengths, and now is Marbitz Torah. That's what's happening here with Shmuel and Eli. Eli teaches Shmuel, says the Pasuk, according to the Alshich, Shmuel now has his own wings, and Shmuel is now ready to fly, independent of Eli. Pasuk Chaf, Vayeda kol Yisrael midon ve'ad be'er sheva. I'm sorry, Oshava. Ki ne'eman Shmuel l'navi la'Hashem. And now the entire Jewish nation, as we just said, that's the reason why Hashem wanted, as the Radak said, v'lo hipil mikol devar avarta, as we read in pasuk Yutes. And the result of that is now Vayeda kol Yisrael, every member of Klal Yisrael, every Jewish person. Midon va'ad be'er sheva, right from the north to the south, understood and knew. Ki ne'eman Shmuel l'navi la'Hashem. Shmuel is now a faithful navi to Hashem. The Metzudas David says also here that in addition to what was so special that everything that Shmuel uttered came true, but in addition to that, he says that the Nevi'im were a little bit erratic and sporadic. They would get nevuah, they would stop. They would get nevuah, they would stop, kind of stopping and starting. Shmuel was unique in that his nevuah was consistent. He never stopped. It wasn't erratic. It wasn't sporadic. He would get nevuah and that's it. The nevuah would just continue. Right? He wouldn't stop and start. So again, people knew that this was something special. This was unique. Here's someone who's consistently getting nevuah. Here's someone that every utterance that comes out of his mouth comes true. The Malbim also points out that most Nevi'im, it's interesting, you know, most Nevi'im, we know, Chazal tell us there were 48 Nevi'im. 48 Nevi'im. So, the Alshech is going to talk about this in the next Pasuk also, but the Malbim essentially says that most Nevi'im at that time were really Nevi'im for themselves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them Nevuah in order for them to recognize Hashem. For them to get closer to Hashem, for them to gain a connection with Hashem. Most Nevi'im were not necessarily agents of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael. Shmuel was. Other Nevi'im were as well. But Shmuel was, again, unique. He was different. He was for Bnei Yisrael. He was a, as the Pasuk says, Ki Ne'eman Shmuel L'Navi L'Hashem. Shmuel was Ne'eman. What's Ne'eman? He's trustworthy. He's faithful. He's a trusted servant of Hashem, a trusted shaliach to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's thoughts, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ideas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's visions to Klal Yisrael. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayosef Hashem Leheira O B'Shilo. Hashem continues to appear. Leheira O is an interesting word, but it means he continues to make himself seen, to appear in Shiloh. Ki Nigla Hashem El Shmuel B'Shilo Bidvar Hashem. Because this first nevuah took place in Shiloh. That's where Shmuel got his first nevuah, was in Shiloh. Rashi says what this pasuk is really communicating is that even though we learned earlier in the perek that the nevuah in general at that time was very uncommon. It was not very common. The first pasuk actually said, right? The first pasuk said, "Udvar Hashem hayo yakar b'yamim ahem." Right? The word of Hashem, the prophecy, was very precious at that time. It was not a common thing. It didn't happen all the time. Ein chazon nifratz. Right? There was no just outpouring of nevuah. Here, what's going on is, says Rashi, "Vayosef Hashem lehiro b'shilo." That here, because of Shmuel, Shmuel's nevuah became more consistent, and now all of a sudden you once again had consistent nevuah in the world. While until now nevuah was very uncommon, all of a sudden now here we have nevuah that's common, nevuah that's happening all the time, again to Shmuel. The Mitzudas David says that Shmuel actually served as a zechus for other nevi'im and for other people around him. Because part of the reason that Mefarshim said why Nevuah was so uncommon at that time is because the people didn't merit it. But once we have Shmuel, and now Shmuel merits HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shefa, Shmuel merits HaKadosh Baruch Hu's blessings coming down into the world in the form of prophecy. So the Mitzudas David says that once that Shefa was coming down, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine spirit was coming down into this world and resting with Shmuel, it ended up resting with other Nevi'im as well. So Shmuel wasn't the only one to benefit now, but because of Shmuel, everyone else benefits as well. Right? As we know, you know, Rashi says in Parshas Vayetze that when the Gadol is in the city, Hu Hadara, Hu Ziva, Hu Hadara, Hu, you know, he's the glory of the city. So here also, Shmuel was the glory of the city. It's like Lahavdil, you have that one, you know, that one all-star player. Could build the whole team around that player. Right? He makes everyone else around him better because of his skills and because of his talents. Lahavdil elef alfei havdalos. Here, Shmuel Hanavi was so gifted, was so talented, was so blessed from Hashem that everything else, it just spilled out to everyone else. All the other Nevi'im around him, all the other people around him benefited and gained from Shmuel's, from what Shmuel got from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Alshich points out here, and again we talked about these, the 48 Nevi'im. Chazal tell us, the Gemara in Megillah tells us that there were 48 Nevi'im, 7 Nevi'os and 48 Nevi'im. So these Nevi'im, says the Alshich, you know, he says really there were many more than 48 Nevi'im. So why do Chazal say there were only 48 Nevi'im? Because those 48 Nevi'im got Nevuah directly from Hashem, right? Not necessarily through a malach. And they weren't just Nevi'im about individual things, but they were Nevi'im for Klal Yisrael. So again, as we said in the previous pasuk, here Shmuel, and the Malbim was touching on this as well, here Shmuel is not just a Navi for himself, he's a Navi for Klal Yisrael. And essentially what happens is that he's jumping the rungs. He's able to just grow into this. Most Nevi'im started out probably with just Nevuah for themselves, and they became greater, and they became more established, and they became closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then they maybe graduated, you know, from that class and now went to something more more prestigious and more chashuv. Shmuel, he's jumping the ranks. Right? He's jumping the ranks. He's just getting, you know, promotion after promotion, and he's ending up already like these other 40, 47 Nevi'im. Shmuel is ending up like that without going through all of the other things as well. He was on a much higher level, of course, than everyone else, but that's the nevuah that he got. The Radak mentions that this nevuah that the pasuk is referring to, "Vayosef Hashem leheirao b'shilo ki nigla Hashem el Shmuel b'shilo b'dvar Hashem," this added nevuah that's being spoken about is the nevuah to go fight the Plishtim, which is what we're about to read now. We have a few minutes. So let's begin Perek Dalet. Okay, pasuk Aleph. So here, Vayhi Devar Shmuel Lechol Yisrael. So now the prophecy of Shmuel, this prophecy that Shmuel is about to relate, essentially that the Jewish people should go to wage war against the Plishtim, that prophecy, that those words get out to all of Bnei Yisrael. Vayetze Yisrael Likras Plishtim LaMilchama. And Klal Yisrael, heeding the words of Shmuel, heeding the nevuah of Shmuel, they go out to war with the Plishtim. Vayachanu al ha'even ha'ezer, and they camp at this place called Eben HaEzer. The Mefarshim all say that this is not yet the name of the place. This place will be named Eben HaEzer. So this is the Sofer, whoever wrote Shmuel, which was presumably Shmuel, but that is being written based on the future name of this place. Uplishtim chanu ba'afek, and the Plishtim, they settled in this place called Afek. So you have the Jewish camp across from the Plishti camp, and they're getting ready for battle. Now, just to not to spoil the ending here, but this is not going to be a pretty ending for the Jewish people. And the question is, why did Shmuel get this nevuah that they should go fight the Plishtim if in fact they're going to be defeated by the Plishtim? And the answer that the Mefarshim say is that the people here deserved punishment. They deserve to be punished. And we'll see why. We know that at the end of Shoftim, we know that they were very involved with Avodah Zarah. Pesal Micha started out in Shevet Dan, but was affecting other Shvatim as well. So, the people are not in a great place. The people are deserving of punishment. So since the people are deserving of punishment, so therefore Shmuel gets a nevuah to lead Bnei Yisrael into battle so that they will be defeated. And that will be their punishment. That's going to be the punishment of Klal Yisrael, that they're going to be defeated in battle. And we'll see there's a terrible twist of events, which is an even worse punishment. Pasuk Beis, Vayarchu Plishtim Likras Yisrael. So the Plishtim set up their battle. They spread out their battle to greet Klal Yisrael. Atitosh HaMilchama. And the battlefield spreads out. Vayinagef Yisrael Lifnei Plishtim. And the Jewish people, the Jewish army is hit hard by the Plishtim. Vayakub, yeah.
Question: why doesn't Hashem ask or tell Shmuel to first go to Bnei Israel and warn them that if they don't, do better, that they are going to be punished? Because why is from the get go they lose to the Plishtim, the punishment,
right,
without a warning? I mean,
right,
for Yahushua and all the Shoftim, usually a warning involved before the punishment comes.
Right. Good question. So we don't find Shmuel giving any sort of warning. I imagine that this time period of Eli, when Eli was the Shofet, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Eli was the Shofet for 40 years. Right? I think we said that Eli was the Shofet for 40 years. So if Eli was the Shofet for 40 years, essentially a lot of these sins were happening during his reign, so to speak, during his time. So it's likely that they were already warned, right? Meaning this has been going on for some time. This is not something new. Meaning if it's something new, then I think your question would be a very strong one. Hey, something new happened. Before you punish them, at least warn them, right? But this is not new. It's like, sometimes just, these are repeat offenders and they've been warned already. Enough already. We warned them already, enough. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is essentially just using Shmuel as a means. He's the Navi, as the means to affecting this punishment to Klal Yisrael. Now this is one way to start a career. Think about this, right? His first Nevuah was all about the demise of his Rebbe's house, right? And now the first Nevuah that he's coming to Klal Yisrael with essentially, cements their destruction, not their destruction, but their defeat at the hands of the Plishtim. It's quite a way to begin his career. But again, it's all about what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants, and it's not about necessarily the glory. It's not about the stars and the glory. Okay, so here Bnei Yisrael is hit by the Plishtim, defeated by the Plishtim. Vayakuv ma'arocha basode karbas alofim ish, and about 4,000 Jews, 4,000 Jewish soldiers are killed on the battlefield. Now again, 4,000 is a high number. It's definitely not as high as some of the other battles that we read about in Tanakh. So relatively speaking, for a battlefield, this is not, it's terrible, right? It's certainly a tragedy, but it's not traumatic in the sense of like total upheaval. But 4,000 Jewish soldiers lose their lives. Okay.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
The Maimonides says that Shmuel Shmuel told them that it was going to be a bad outcome and that they went out against him anyway. In other words, he did prophesy that it was going to be bad.
Interesting.
But they didn't believe it. So
interesting,
they just,
interesting.
They went out and lost.
Interesting, interesting. Okay. So I didn't see that in the Mefarshim. I wonder if it's a, it might be a Gemara or a Medrash. Very interesting. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So now the Jewish army regroups. Vayavo ha'am el hamachane. Right? So the nation comes back to the camp, and the Mefarshim point out, the Malbim points out that from the fact that they regrouped in the camp, they didn't flee. They didn't go home. Right, they didn't run for the hills. They went back to the camp and they regrouped. So you see that there was not a complete loss. You know, this was they were defeated in battle. They lost 4,000 men, but you know they were regrouping. So vayavaha amel amachane. So the nation gathers back in the camp. Vayomru ziknei Yisrael, and the elders of the Jewish camp, the elders of the Jewish people say, lama nigafanu Hashem hayom lifnei plishtim. What's going on over here? Right? Why did Hashem allow us to be defeated by the Plishtim today? Nikha, so they come up with a grand idea. Nikha, and this of course is the beginning of a tragic course of events. Nikha eleinu mishilo es aron bris Hashem. Let's go to Shiloh and get the aron. Let's get the aron. Vayovo bikirbenu, we'll bring the aron right into our camp. Vayoshienu mikaf oyvenu, and that will help save us from our enemies. Let's go get the Aron Bris Hashem, and that will help save us from our enemies. So again, they're recognizing, in a sense, this is good, right? They're recognizing that it's not just about us. This is about God. This is about Hashem. If we want to win this battle, we need Hashem's help. Rashi quotes, the Radak quotes the Targum Yonasan, who says that in the merit of Hashem's holy name, right, we're going to be saved from our enemies. That's the idea, and that's what they want. You know, they thought, the Mitzudas David says, you know, they thought that Hashem is certainly going to protect the Aron. If we bring the Aron into our midst, Hashem is certainly going to protect the Aron. So if he's going to protect the Aron, he'll protect us also, right? That's what they thought. But we know, of course, that that's not true. Now the Mitzudas David points out that, you know, it's very strange. Why are they so confused? They thought that they were sin free, right? Vayomru ziknei Yisrael, lama negafanu Hashem ayom lifnei plishtim. What's going on over here? The elders didn't understand. Why are we being defeated? Why the plishtim kill us? What's going on? They didn't realize their sins. They didn't see their own faults. But really, they were full of sin, and that's why Hashem is punishing them. Now, spoiler alert, but you know, just to let you know what's going to happen. The Aron will be captured. The Aron will be captured by the Plishtim. Okay, and that's of course the terrible tragedy. Not only is that a tragedy, but that tragedy was alluded to, you know, earlier in this perek. What we learned last week, the nevuah that Shmuel got. If you remember earlier in the perek, that first nevuah that Shmuel got, Hashem said to Shmuel, "Hinei anochi oseh davar b'Yisrael asher kol shomo titzilena shtei oznav." I'm about to do something to the Jewish people. Whoever hears about this, their ears will ring. Their ears will tremble. And the Mefarshim say, the Rashi says there on that Pasuk, this is referring to the Plishtim capturing the Aron. Can you imagine a more terrible, more tragic event? Right? Not only are the Plishtim defeating the Jewish army, but now they're also taking the Aron. They're capturing the holiest vessel that we have. So why is it that Hashem allowed the Aron to be captured? Why is it that Hashem allowed this to happen? So the Malbim says, gives a few reasons. He says, reason number one, that these people had sinned, right? They were doing Avodah Zarah, as we mentioned, Pesel Micha, which started in Shevet Dan, but spread to many parts of Klal Yisrael. And what made it worse, says the Malbim, is that they didn't realize their own sins. Like the Zakenim are saying right here, hey, what's going on over here? Why is God punishing us? What do we do wrong? To sin is one thing, but then to sin and to deny it or not to recognize your sins, that makes it even worse. That's a terrible travesty. So that's number one. Number two, and says the Malbim, this is such a profound point, says the Malbim, number two, You know, what's the what's their suggestion? What's their solution? They go to battle, and they're defeated in battle. So what's their solution? Says the Malbim, what should have been their solution is tshuva, tefillah. Let's do tshuva. Let's better our ways. Introspection, daven to Hashem. Instead, what was their reaction? Let's get the Aron. Let's get the Aron. Right, the Aron will save us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect the Aron. The Aron will save us. Says the Malbim, this is not magic. The Aron is not magic. It's not like you bring the Aron in. It's not Chas V'Shalom like an amulet, you know, some sort of lucky charm. You know, you hold the Aron and everything will be okay. Everything is going to protect you. Says the Malbim, the Aron only protects you if you keep that which is in the Aron. If you keep the Torah, which is in the Aron, then the Zchus HaTorah will protect you. It's not the Aron. It's not the box. It's not some sort of magical, magical charm. Lucky charm, it's going to protect you. Chas v'shalom. It's in the zchus, it's in the merit. Any protection that Klal Yisrael get is only in the merit of the Torah. When we keep the Torah, when we study the Torah, then we merit divine protection. But it's not just holding the Aron. It's not just bringing the Aron into our camp. You know. Nowadays, it's everybody wants a quick fix, right? So everybody's looking for the segula. What's a segula for this? Segula for that? You know, what's a segula for Sheduchim? Segula for, you know, somebody called me. They were dating. They wanted to get married. What's a segula for Sheduchim? So I told them, Torah and Tefillah, and Mitzvos. Right? That's the best segula. I know I'm a Kalta Litvak. I apologize, right? But Torah, Tefillah, you know, Tshuva, Maisim Tovim, Mitzvos. Those are the segulos. Because the more you accrue, the more points you accrue in those realms, that's a tremendous chus. That's going to protect you. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to work for you. You know, to do a little funny thing here, a funny thing there, I go here, you know, go to 40 times to this place and go to that place and, you know, do this segula, that segula. Maybe yes, maybe no. I don't know. You know, it was a funny story with segula. Somebody once asked a gadol, I don't remember who at the moment. Somebody once asked a gadol, you know, I heard it's a segula it's a segula for Shalom Bayis to fold your talis on Motzai Shabbos. Right? You know, Motzai Shabbos, because on Shabbos, you know, we're not supposed to fold our talisim on the creases, so we kind of, you know, fold it in a haphazard way. Motzai Shabbos, you take out your talis and you fold it nicely, and that's a segula for Shalom Bayis. Maybe because in some circles, you know, the Kalas family purchases the Talis, so that shows a care and concern. So the Golda responded, the question was, is this a valid Segula? So the Golda responded and said, listen, I'm not sure if it's a Segula for Shalom Bayis or not, but I can tell you one thing. Washing the dishes Motzai Shabbos is certainly a Segula for Shalom Bayis. That's certainly a Segula for Shalom Bayis. Right? So, you know, the Segulas are Torah, Tefillah, Maisim Tovim, Mitzvos, those are our Segulas. To have lucky charms and to do this and to do that, it's misguided. So says the Malbim, that was their mistake here. Their mistake here was, you make a mistake, you're full of sin. That's why you were defeated. See the writing on the wall. Don't just run and take the Aron and assume everything's going to be okay. Do a little introspection, look internally. Torah, Tefillah, Tshuva, Mitzvos, that's what you need to do. So that's the idea. Okay, we're running out of time here. So we'll stop here for tonight, and Amir Tzah Hashem, next week we'll continue with the story of the capture of the Aron.